Madhava Pinjabi Hari. Here tonight. I don't have
Canto 10, chapter 8, and specifically the conclusion of the pastime of Krishna showing inside his mouth the whole universe to Mother Yashoda, and then after seeing what she saw, there's a series of verses where she goes through some different changes, philosophically trying to understand what she experienced, reaching the conclusion this is the power of personality Godhead that Garga Muni spoke about at the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. Then offering prayers to Lord Narayan, the source of that power, and requesting that he give protection to her son, and then her motherly affection, her vatsalya praying, just overwhelmed her. And then a concluding statement by Shukadev in kind of an ecstatic mood. The Lord, who is known at different levels, referring to different scriptures that disclose different or emphasize different features of God or personality of Godhead, up to the position of Mother Yashoda, who's beyond all that. She's just wanting to see her son as, or seeing Krishna as her son. And she's most exalted. She's the most exalted knower of the Vedas without knowing the Vedas. So, Maharaj Parikshit, hearing this wonderful exclamation of Shukadeva, begins pondering what austerities might she and Nanda have undergone to have such love for Krishna. Brahmana, this is Parikshit speaking, text 46 and 47 of Canto 10, chapter 8. O learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Lord. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply by chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. And in those verses, these two words, important words, are mentioned several times. Atmaja Uthane. When they're combined, it can only mean born as his son, quote unquote. The word being born describes an external appearance. The Lord is never born like a material person. This aspect was the same in both couples, but there's a difference in his appearing as their son. He appeared to Nanda and Yashoda in the form of their son, but he did not appear in this manner to Vasudeva and Devaki. That was suitable because Nanda and Yashoda's love was pure parental affection and was very strong. Vasudeva and Devaki were covered by knowledge of the Lord's greatness. This is revealed in their previous statement. Previous statement is going back to chapter 3. Chapter 2 is the demigods pray. Chapter 3 is Krishna is born and they offer their prayers. So in their offering their prayers, I know you directly as a supreme person beyond material existence, as the impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as Bhagavan. So his divinity is like explicit. There were no such prayers by Mother Yashoda. Paragraph. Without that parental affection, the Lord cannot be called the Son. Varaha came from Brahma's nostril, but is not called the Son. Krishna came out of Uttara's womb after protecting Parikshit, but is not called her Son. Similarly, important, Vasudeva Devaki did not regard the four-armed form as their son. Now, it's a mix. Yes and no, but the primary is no, because the words is not, they're not glorifying, oh, our dear son, how lovely. They're, it's divinity. However, Krishna appeared with all his expansions as the son of Nanda. This conception is shown in Nanda's actions, as he called the brahmanas to perform ceremonies. Garga also states that Krishna is principally Nanda's son. But he says, in this chapter 8, name-keeping ceremony, previously he was sometimes the son of Vasudeva, that is, in previous yugas. Brahma also praises Krishna, saying, in Brahma's prayers, chapter 14. I offer respects to Krishna born from the body of the cowherd Nanda. Then again, Shukadeva describes Krishna as Gopika Sutta, son of Yashoda. Canto 10, chapter 9. That's the Damodar Lila chapter. Also, it is said in Gautamiya Tantra, Krishna, the son of Nanda, is auspiciousness for the whole world. So now back to this text 46. The verse says, Atmaja Utpane, when the son was born. It does not say when Nanda thought him was a son. Therefore, the birth of Maya, this is Yogmaya, from Yashoda, was for deceiving Vasudeva, produced by Krishna's potency. We'll say, Yogamaya stayed in Yashoda's womb and Krishna stayed in her heart. Thus, because Yashoda was the mother of both children, Yogamaya is called Krishna's younger sister. In Canto 10, Chapter 4, after Krishna made his appearance, then this is Chapter 4, because the prayers was Chapter 3, Vasudeva, Devaki, etc., then there was child number 9. There were 8 sons and then a daughter. Vasudeva Devaki had a daughter. Excuse me. I'm ahead of myself. This is Canto 10, Chapter 4. The child Yogamaya Devi, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upwards from Kamsa's hand and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with 8 arms, completely equipped with weapons. So that was, she was brought back. Kamsa tried to kill her. So, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 9, speaks of Yogamaya as the younger sister of Vishnu. I'll read it again. The child, Yogamaya, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upward from Kamsa's hands and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with eight arms, completely equipped with weapons. So, Yogamaya is specifically addressed as the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, because when Krishna was born, in Gokula, the younger sister was Yogamaya. Clear? Prasanna, are you clear? Okay. Thank you. Now, we had a little discussion yesterday. I did some research. Where does Subhadra come into the picture? Krishna had a younger sister, right? And Krishna, it looks like he had two younger sisters. Yogamaya and Subhadra. So here's two references about Subhadra. One is in the ninth canto, where it's describing, just before the tenth canto begins, it describes the sun dynasty and then the moon dynasty when it comes to describing the birth of Krishna. Preliminarily in Canto 9, Shukadev says to Maharishi Parikshit, Vasudev begot eight highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included, so the first six sons that were killed, Kirtiman, Sushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardana, Bhadra, that's six, and then number seven, Sankarsana, the controller and serpent incarnation, the eighth son, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother, speaking to Prakshin. Grandmother. So who is Prakshin's mother and father? Prakshin's mother and father were
Uttara
and
Abhimanyu.
And so the grandmother is Subhadra. Now how does that work? Subhadra was the wife of
Arjuna.
Grandmother, Grandma Subhadra. And then 10th canto, chapter 1 says Devaki bore eight sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. So we know certainly of Subhadra. Is she on your altar? No. Many devotees have Jagannath Bhavanid and Subhadra. They're there?
Yes, the picture.
Okay. There she is, Subhadra. So, that's the younger sister of Krishna. But he had another younger sister. And the other younger sister is Yogamaya. That's just a detail. But that's how Subhadra comes into the picture. When Devaki desired that Krishna cover his four-armed form, the two-armed form residing in Yashoda's heart then covered that four-armed form and appeared in front of her. Paragraph. Although Garga, his name-giving ceremony, said, previously he was the son of Vasudev. He resolves the issue by then saying, quote, your son has been born with many forms and names previously. That's the same chapter 8 earlier, text 15. He was the son of Vasudev in previous yugas. Thus, Garga's words, as well as Nanda and Yashoda's recognition of Krishna as their son, and the statements of scripture establish that Krishna is principally the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Paragraph. Nanda and Yashoda accepted that Maya, Yoga Maya, was created by Krishna for deception, while Vasudeva and Devaki accepted Maya as Yashoda's real child and therefore embraced her when Kamsa tried to snatch her away. Nanda and Yashoda thought, fixed in this truth, they thought, we will broadcast this birth with a festival. With the birth of a son, Nanda became joyful, jata, lada. Not only was a son born, but joy was born. Joy was born on the pretext of the son. It appeared spontaneously with the appearance of the son. This indicates the deep nature of their bliss. This became the cause of a great festival. He called the Vipras, those who can excellently fulfill all desires. They were knowledgeable of the birth rites and rules of the Vedas. Shruti says, quote, all the devatas reside in the Brahmana, having knowledge of the Vedas. Nanda purified himself with Achmana and Vaishnav Kila. He had the Brahmanas chant mantras like Bhuya Svapi and performed the ceremony for giving intelligence to his son. Karma Palam Prayokari Prayoktari. The result of action goes to the performer. Karma Palam Prayoktari. The result of action goes to the performer. They performed the ceremonies according to the rules. Then they performed worship of the Pitris. Nanda did not perform the Nandi Mukha Shraddha personally, which is the custom, since he was stunned with bliss. They had to perform those rites because he was repeatedly stunned. Then I'm going to read Jiva Goswami's commentary specific to the festival after Krishna's birth. And Nanda does the festival this way and makes reference to this text 46. Quote, the great-minded Maharaj Nanda gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the cowherd men in order to please Vishnu, and thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the Sutas, the Magadhas, the Vandis. Vandis are like bards, their function is like at gatherings like this, and they just recite prayers. And men of all other professions, according to their educational qualifications, and satisfied everyone's desires, unquote. Nanda gave cloth and other items, such as gold, to the cowherd men and women, to the bards, to singers, and musicians as appropriate. He worshipped them appropriately. He was naturally generous, but now he became most devoted, Mahamana. As previously mentioned, because of his devotion to Krishna, his qualities of generosity and wisdom increased immeasurably. He was not satisfied with giving, but whatever they desired, he gave. He worshipped them according to caste, age, and knowledge. He respected them with garland, sandalwood, betel nut, and invitations. Their purpose of giving is mentioned. It was for satisfying Vishnu, not for going to Swarga, since he was the highest Vaishnava and had reached the end of desiring any object. He gave for the welfare of his son, quote, may Vishnu be pleased with this charity. May my son be prosperous by his mercy. By worshipping Vishnu, by that prosperity, there would be manifestation of Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes in his house. Mahamana can also mean that his meditation became great because of developing attraction to Krishna. Shukadeva has established the conclusion by the meaning of this verse, for the word cha in this case means api, to indicate Nanda's rare position of getting Krishna as his son. This is established in later verses, like this one, because this is chapter 5, now we're going over to chapter 8, text 46. What past pious, auspicious activities did Yashoda and Nanda perform to achieve such perfection and ecstatic love? Or in the next chapter, the Damodar Leela chapter, neither Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who always is the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from the material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. And then, towards the end of this chapter 8, one more verse. Oh, respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Narayana, the spiritual master of all living beings. Now that references Uddhava when he goes to visit Nanda, he goes to visit Braja with message from Krishna. Now we're going to go to Canto 10, Chapter 14. This is Brahma's prayers after the Brahmi the Mohan Leela. You with me, you two? Nod your head, yes. Okay. I guess. Brahma speaks to Krishna. My dear master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. What is the purpose of your pastimes? That's one of the questions in Canto 1, Chapter 1, the purpose of the Lord's appearing. They are, his pastimes, are to spread intense bliss to the surrendered people, those in Braja, and myself, Brahma, by sweet pastimes, rather than pastimes displaying power. And then these two verses again, 47, 46, 47. What pious actions did Nanda perform to cause such affection? And what pious acts did most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from her breast? Great devotees sing of the activities of Krishna in his childhood, which Vasudeva Devaki could not experience, and which even today destroy the sins of all people. In summary, those two verses. Now, here's another reference. This is from Canto 10, Chapter 7. And it comes just after the killing of Putana, the beginning of the Trinavarta pastime. Oh Lord, hearing about the Lord, full of qualities, destroyer of suffering, tractor of the senses, who through his appearance causes pleasure to the ears and great attraction to the mind, who destroys all disinterest in the topics and thirst for material enjoyment, and who produces prema, for his all attractive personality and friendship with the devotees. Please speak of the Lord's pastimes if you think I'm qualified. Maharaj Pariksit, he's enthusiastic here. Spoken just after the killing of Putana. Commentary says, the pastimes of Krishna with the people of Raja are eternal. This indeed is indicated in the verse 32, where the friendship of the Lord, this is Brahma's prayers now, where the friendship of the Lord is unspecified in time and followed by the words, quote, greatest bliss or complete and eternal. Verse 33 again indicates that the pastimes are eternal. In giving up Vaikuntha and praying for birth to attain the foot dust of the people of Raja, and describing the Lord who is the life of the people of Raja sought by the Vedas, again the eternal nature of the pastimes is seen. Not able to repay his debts, the Lord then appears in the world as a son over unlimited kalpas of time. Though there are many people filled with attachment and illusion, this is no obstacle to the pastimes. Paragraph. Brahma takes as his personal goal in life attainment of the form of Krishna, a cowherd, described in verse 1, related to the people of Raja and to the devotees outside. Brahma fears that some people with material vision think that the pastimes are material. What can be said? This verse answers in the last paragraph. Though you are untouched by matter in your pastimes and constantly engage in pastimes with your devotees, and you appear in the material world with your devotees, you imitate the material world by being born like a human, but show great glory by that act. Quote, what is the purpose of doing that? Answer, it gives joy to the devotees. Both the people of this world, who are not eternal, and the surrendered devotees who are eternal, derive bliss by seeing and hearing about the eternal pastimes which manifest on earth. An ocean of bliss spreads because of the pastimes which appear on earth. And one of the things that we've been discussing, I mean, there was a whole bunch of it this morning, but the difference of these terminologies, Goloka and Gokula, and then there's other ones, Mahavaikuntha, Mathurapuri, and there's like so many different names, it gets confusing. The emphasis that's being made is there's a hierarchy. This is what this morning was, is Krishna's immersing the cowherd men in the Brahmavrata, the lake, the river Jamuna, where Kura saw what he saw. Then they saw Brahman, or Brahmaloka, or Brahmajyoti. Then he lifted them out of that to his abode, Goloka. So that's the Goloka vision. And then there's a sweetness of their own position in Gokula, indicating the earthly pastimes, that surpasses the sweetness of Goloka. And we did, the last part we just read is part of why does the Lord appear? Why is there a birth pastime? For the pleasure of the devotees, to give ecstatic experience to the devotees who are now going to be participants in his childhood pastimes. So the birth ceremony just kicks it off. Matnanda and Jashoda becoming the parents. It's not the birth, and then all the childhood pastime, the prajalila. It attracts the hearts and the minds of the perfected soul, that attracts the hearts and the minds of the worldly people to get find a happiness that surpasses material affairs. You know, like taking prasada instead of vegetarian food. Or having kirtan instead of, you know, bebop music. There's a happiness involved in those activities in relation to Krishna. So let's say, you know, supposing you can just have kirtan in your mind. That's nice. And nicer than nice is kirtan. And then nicer than nice is utkirtan. It can't be too loud because some people will leave the temple room. But the manifest pastimes, Krishna's performing of his pastimes, this is one of those features. It goes back to the saying, why does the Lord appear in this world? What's his purpose? Canto 1, Chapter 1. One of the six questions, and one of the, there's the same two different answers, related but different. There's the elevated souls, and it's to delight them and to take them back to the spiritual world. And then there's everybody else, and it's to attract them to the spiritual world. It's mercy and it's mercy. It's a special feature beyond the eternal pastimes that are not manifest. I mean, it's not like it's not fun to go loco. But there's a special sweetness. Madhurya feature. And we've been reading a little bit about this little by little by little. It's an important dimension of Krishna's pastimes. And the unique position of Nanda and Yashoda amongst Vasudeva Devaki and the other ladies of Braja, she is superlative. And the chapter ends in this glorification, 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 so much so that it leads into the Damodar Linga, where the spotlight just goes on Mother Yashoda, her glorious position. She conquers the unconquerable with her love. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion on this topic from the room. Would we have to move onward at 7:30?
7:30.
Okay. So I deliberately kept the reading not so long so that we could have some discussion And I didn't know who's, depends on who's in the room, how many questions there are. But we're, you know, you two are on the spot, now you have to come up with some questions. Because there's not so many people in the room.
I was reading your an article that you had written a little while ago, where you were talking about liberation, and then why liberation into the Ramajyoti is dangerous. You said something to the effect that 99.9% you'll be coming back, but there is no activity, so to speak. So I was a little confused reading that.
You were confused?
Yes.
Why? Why were you confused?
Well, my thing was that how do you go above that level? Liberation means that your soul gets separated from the subtle body. And then if you have to go to higher planets, is there, what is the mechanism for doing it? If a person is liberated,
the mechanism for going beyond liberation if you don't have a subtle body? Specifically, is that the question?
Yes.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not sure what your question is, but I mean, what your doubt is. But let's go like this. The coverings of the soul cover the soul. Let's just say, you know, here's my hand, and I may put a glove on my hand. And when my fingers wiggle, the glove wiggles because my fingers are wiggling. But supposing I take the glove off, my fingers can still wiggle. So there's spiritual thinking. And spiritual, you know, thinking, feeling, willing. Now, in the neutral stage of Sayuja, then those functions are suspended. They don't go out of existence, but they're suspended. So there's not material attraction, but so that's when, so that the glove is gone, or the covering is gone, the material mind is gone. But it's not that one goes from the Brahmajyoti commonly. I mean, there's a text where it indicates that it's possible. But the possibility always is by contact with bhakti. And bhakti is contacted through a bhakta. So some bhakta would have to contact an entity that's in that neutral position to elevate, so the thinking, feeling, willing become activated spiritually without the mature mind or mature covering. So if your question is that, what's the mechanism? It's super rare, like super, 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 triple super rare. But the principle would have to be the same principle. The bhakti principle being transmitted by a bhakta to a living entity that's in this not attractive to the material side, becoming attractive to the spiritual side. And then I only know of two examples. The four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami. They were fixed in that Brahman conception. They were not attracted to anything material. But they became attracted to Ajita. Specifically, that language is used in relation to Shukadeva. Sutta speaks about him in those terms. That he became attracted by Ajita. So, the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Because they're all attractive. So it's contact with a devotee. One who's carrying bhakti, this is devotee. And then one can go without a subtle body. That answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You have something?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. So, I guess this is a follow-up question from question of what you were
asking. I'm going to repeat the question for the people that can't hear your voice. Go ahead.
So, I mean, in the examples that you gave, the four Kumaras and Shukadeva Goswami, I mean, they were attracted to Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, or Brahman conception. But if somebody already got into Brahma Jyoti, I mean, there is no way to get contact with
them. Well, you say there's no way, but anything can happen under the by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So, one discussion with some senior devotees went like this. When Gopal Kumar is in the Brahma Jyoti, he sees descending, you know, heading into the material world is some agents of Vishnu. And they're going into the material world to preach. Or he sees Lord Shiva and his entourage going into the material world to preach. So they're, you know, they're passing by and they carry bhakti. What, you know, what it's going to look like and how to describe it and all that, but it's just it's indicating a principle. Are there scriptural examples of that? None that I know of. But is it potentially possible? Yeah. I mean, rare, triple rare, but possible.
My understanding was in Brahma Jyoti, the souls are in inanimated form.
Yeah, they're not in it. They don't have a body. They don't have form. They don't have developed senses. But they have. The soul has those things. So how the, I mean, going deeper into that question, that area, I'm not equipped anyways. But I just repeat, there was some discussion with some senior devotees and how is that possible? And that was notionally possible.
One more question. Shukadeva Goswami, I mean, he was in the womb of his mother for so many years.
Yeah.
And of course, Vasudeva was persona, I mean, Shakti Vishavatara of the Supreme Lord. So, how did he get attracted to the Brahman Jyoti form? He's supposed to be listening to Bhagavad the whole time.
No. At least, that comes later. Your question specifically is what chronologically before he made his birth and he's in the womb of his mother, how did the attraction for the Brahman conception become manifest in him? That's the question.
Yes, more than that's the question, and also the follow-up is, I mean, if he was Vyasadeva's son, got attracted to Brahman conception, what about the ordinary people?
What about ordinary people?
I mean, getting attracted to Brahman conception.
How do ordinary people become attracted to Brahman conception?
I mean, there is a better chance for the ordinary people also get attracted. I mean, if he is in such an elevated personality, or taking the birth in the womb of a elevated devotee, if he got attracted to Brahman conception, I mean, it's fairly easy for the ordinary people to get attracted also, right?
Well, ordinary people do become attracted. That's not a surprise. It's frustration. It's not a surprise. Not knowing of the personal conception, that's preliminary. beyond here. And beyond here is what's beyond here. Well, if I don't know Bhagavan, then it's the impersonal conception, inductively. So, I'm trying to recall, have I heard a description of how it came to be that he had an attraction for Brahma conception? And no, I don't recall any discussion or description, just that he had that attraction for Brahma conception. He was immersed in the Brahma conception. No, but so I don't know the answer to how it happened, other than that was the starting point. Don't know. Yeah?
We have one question from Ruchirana Mataji. You mentioned that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata are eternal associates of Krishna in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Krishna appears in this world with the same spiritual body. Is Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata's body also spiritual?
Yes.
Or material?
Spiritual. I mean, we can say spiritualized, perhaps. But there's certain eternal entities. And it minimally spiritualized bodies because of their exalted devotion. I mean, they had mother and father too. But their appearance is not described like it's described for Krishna. So did were their bodies produced by the normal process of male and female combination, thus producing a physical body that became spiritualized by their bhakti? That seemed more likely than the Immaculate Conception kind of idea of Nanda and Yashoda, and being born in a spiritual body. Okay. Yeah.
One more question. So in Goloka Vrindavan, there are no demons, right?
No demons in Goloka.
So, because a lot of sweetness in the Prakat Leela was because of the demons and Vrajavasis taking the shelter of Krishna.
Yeah.
So,
how does it work in Goloka? The answer, there's no demons, so for the audience here, there's no demons in Goloka, the spiritual, eternal spiritual realm of Krishna, whereas there are demons in this Prakat Leela. So how does it work in the upper Bhaktiva, in the eternal realm? There's the bhava of, here comes Rishtasura. Although there's no Rishtasura. The way that Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj describes it, he doesn't make things up, so it must be somewhere in our Acharya's writings. But he speaks, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj speaks, some unknown personality comes running through Vrindavan saying, Rishtasura is coming, Aristasura is coming, and no one has ever seen this person who disappears, and they all go, oh, Aristasura is coming. There's no Aristasura coming, but there's an arrangement of the internal potency where they feel that bhava, and thus take deeper shelter of Krishna with that bhava of seeking his protection. How are we doing?
No more questions.
So in Goloka, is a servitorship.
Goloka is what?
In a Goloka, servitorship rasa is main, or the madhurya lila, or the prema
bhava. Your voice is not carrying. Could you relay her question?
In Goloka, is it only, is there servitorship or prema bhava?
Well, prema, one of the categories of prema bhava is dasya. We'll see it the other way. There are servants of Krishna. Daruka is one of Krishna's servants. Not only there's a Daruka that's the chariot driver of Krishna, but one of his coward boyfriends is Daruka, and he has that same mood of dasya. It's prema all the way. So dasya doesn't negate prema. It's prema is describing, is indicating a quality of love, where it's just the love of the person is in this bhava or that bhava, or this mood, that mood, this rasa, that rasa. Is that okay? So the answer is yes. It's prema in the form of dasya ma or dasya rasa.
One more question from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. Absolute divinity of Lord Krishna is proven by his universal form and expansions in Dwarka with his queens. Are there other examples? Killing of demons can be handled by his other energies?
So, his question is specific to divinity, and are there other manifestations of his divinity? There's lots of them. I mean, how many do you want? his manifesting so many forms of Krishna during rasa dance, or his lifting of Govardhan Hill, or his showing, his paying his respects to Lord Hari and Hari Dev as he's eating all the offerings, and then Krishna lifts the hill and he holds it in the air for 7 days and 7 nights. I mean, he does it again and again, showing the cowherd men at the morning discussion, showing them the Goloka. And how many is there more? Showing Mother Jasoda twice, the universe within his mouth. It's not like, he can empower someone else to do that. There are other manifestations of his divinity. Yes, killing demons.